You're listening to a podcast from York City Church. If you like what you hear and you'd like to find out more, please visit our website at www.yorkcitychurch.org.uk.
An hour into the meeting, we say welcome again. I'm Phil. Now, we don't have special clothes, we don't have special seats, but we do have special mugs, and this says that I'm a member of the York City Church staff. So, cheers. Tuesday this week marks 7 years since Rachel and I moved to York to be part of York City Church. Where's that gone? But please feel especially welcome if this is your first time with us. If you're a visitor or if you're just checking us out, we're really glad that you came. We want you to feel welcome, whatever your background and whatever your beliefs. If you're not sure you would call yourself a Christian yet, that's fine. It takes a while to become a follower of Jesus sometimes, and we weren't immediately Christians, we weren't immediately followers of Jesus, but we hope that you'll find something here that will close that gap for you. The Bible says that God created everything. The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and everything it contains. The Bible says that all things are given for us richly to enjoy. So I wonder, what are the things that you're proud of in your life? What things do you really enjoy? What things get you going? What would you like to talk about in the coffee? What would you like to talk about after? What interesting fact would you tell people about yourself? Do you have an interesting family background? What are your greatest achievements? 25 yards breaststroke, maybe. What's your highest academic qualification? What's your personal best at sport, park run, or whatever? Is that what they call it? Marathon? Oh, yeah. Yeah. What team do you support? What's the biggest fish you've ever caught? Oh, I'd love to know, yeah. How long can you hold your breath underwater? I don't know. Do you sing or play an instrument? Sorry, this isn't about you. Do you sing or play an instrument? What grade have you got to? And which board was it that you got the grade in? Do you like to cook? How long would you survive in the bake-off tent? How many weeks? Are you the life and soul of the party? Do you make people laugh? Do you think you make people laugh? What books have you read? Oh, sorry. What books have you read? What films do you watch? What's the best thing you've ever seen at the theatre? Have you been to any good concerts lately? Are you married? Do you have kids? Do you have grandkids? How much do you earn? It's also getting a bit too American now, isn't it? Where do you live? Sorry, man. Sorry. Where do you live? Where do you want to live? What car do you drive? What iPhone have you got? Are you any good at DIY? Sewing? Gardening? Where do you like to go on holiday? I'm sure we could talk forever about stuff like this. The Bible says that God has given us many things richly to enjoy. But I want to look at a more Challenging question. What do you worry about? Current affairs? Where do we begin? Climate change? Cost of living? Fuel crisis? War? Nuclear war? Conflict, not just in the world, but in our society. Polarization of people into A and B. 48%, 52%. But it comes right into the home, doesn't it? Conflict. What about your health? Had COVID yet? Had your latest booster jab? Just over a week ago, I was a pall bearer for my uncle who lost his battle with cancer. And at least two other people in the family already have cancer and are fighting it. Worried about the NHS? Some of you work in the NHS. Mortality. Do you worry about that? Does that keep you awake at night? And what about the world? Politics. Do you see justice? Kindness? Humility? Well, don't let worry kill you. Let the church help. I'm a bit conscious, actually, that by listing all those worries, I've triggered some of you, and now you're not hearing a word I'm saying. You've already spiraled into your anxiety. I want to try and bring you back. If you were here last week, we had the first of a series of mental health and well-being events. Check those out. They're really good. Excuse me? Yeah, you need it. Okay, right. I need it. What else do we offer? Well, thanks for asking. Back in the end of last year, Al started a short series on Philippians that turned into a long series. And so I looked at the lectionary for today. Oh, sorry, you were thinking this was going to be about David and Goliath, didn't you? Well, he's Goliath, but... but here we are, Philippians 4. This was in the subsection of a second lectionary, and I thought, I'll have that, because there was no mark to be had anywhere. So let's just listen to David Suchet reading to us from Philippians 4.
Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
So don't be anxious. Think nice thoughts and be like me. Thank you. Groucho Marx said that religion is the opium of the people. Is that what we've just heard? Are we just living in a heartless world? Are we oppressed creatures? Are we in soulless conditions? Are we just grasping for a little opium when we listen to Paul? Pink Floyd, one of the greatest albums of all time, one of the greatest songs of all time, called Time, ends with these lines. Far away across the field, the tolling of the iron bell calls the faithful to their knees to hear the softly spoken magic spells. Have you ever been to York Minster? Because what they're talking about is evensong. And all the nice words that just float at evensong. But the guy that put together the words that they use at evensong is a guy called Thomas Cranmer. And in 1549, he wrote and compiled, as the Archbishop of Canterbury to Henry VIII, he wrote the Book of Common Prayer and compiled a load of prayers for us to use. And those are the softly spoken magic spells of which Pink Floyd talk. Now, in 1552, there will be a test, Thomas Cranmer wrote the second edition of the Book of Common Prayer with some interesting changes, but the prayers were pretty much the same. And in 1556, he was burnt alive as a heretic. No, not softly spoken magic spells. This is how a man who died for his faith would sleep at night. He would pray prayers like this. Light in our darkness, we beseech thee, O Lord, and by thy great mercy defend us from all perils and dangers of this night, for the love of thy only Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And still we pray those prayers, because we live in a dark world. He's not just talking about going to bed and having sweet dreams. He's talking about how to sleep at night when people are out to get him. Who's this? Yes, I know it has something of a resemblance to someone in the room who likes books and likes writing and study and stuff, but no, this is the Apostle Paul. But notice what a long finger he has. This is St. Paul, or as his friends call him, the Apostle Paul. He wrote 14 of the 27 books of the New Testament. And as we've already said, Alan preached from one of those books just before Christmas last year. And I'm not going to give you a full cover. Alan did a brilliant job. Go and listen to the sermons on the website. That's what they're there for. Paul was a first century missionary. He was a Roman citizen from Tarsus, but deeply Jewish. And he started out as a young man as an enemy of the church. He helped out at the killing of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. Paul was born in around 6 AD, and he died around 64 AD, which makes him the same age as me when he died. He was beheaded as a martyr in Nero's Rome. And he suffered a lot on the way there. He was stoned, flogged, shipwrecked, and even bitten by a snake. Just a few, just to set the context for the reading that we heard. I've actually found some of Luke, the evangelist, some of his holiday snaps from their trip to Philippi. So this is them at Philippi on a Sabbath, when there was no meeting at the synagogue, and they went down to the river and they found some women by the river And it looks like Lydia has already sold a purple robe to Paul. That's really exciting. And Lydia is the first person whose heart was opened by God in Philippi. And then this is another woman that was a seer, a mystic, who followed Paul and Silas around while they were in Philippi. And we know you are servants of the Most High God. And it gets a little bit wearing after a while. So Paul, for the best of motives, commanded the demon to come out of her, basically, and she became silent, stopped fussing, and her owners got very upset because now they'd lost them the means to make money out of her. And so she was liberated, but hey, you know, you've got to make money. And so Paul and Silas are arrested, and they're actually flogged. I don't know what this thing is around here. Is it like a frisbee or something like that? It looks like Luke got an upgrade to his camera from time to time. And here we are. This is Paul and Silas in prison, having been flogged in the stocks, singing hymns and worshipping and praying. And this is what happens. The chains fall off, and the jailer comes in and is worried that everyone has escaped. And he becomes the first actual believer from... I didn't know they had Lego then, but have you got the Paul and Silas Lego set? No. Okay. So that's just a little bit of the background of what happened in Philippi. And we know that Luke was there because he started talking in terms of we. When you read his account, Acts, suddenly Luke starts saying we. So, and we know from the photographs that he was there. So what I wanted to do is just play you a little bit from the beginning of the first few verses of Philippians, just to connect some of that story with what Paul is writing to us and the thing we've already heard. Let's just do that.
Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God.
So Paul is writing a letter to this church that he started, or you've seen the photographs from the beginning of that church, and he's concerned. Perhaps even worried, even anxious about the state of that church, because some issues have come up. It appears that they are now suffering as he suffers for the gospel. It's a Roman colony, after all. In fact, it considers itself more Roman than Rome. But even in that struggling and suffering, they're squabbling among each other. And that's not good. It's not a good look, is it? But there's also a group of people who've come in and are threatening to take over with an idea that actually you Gentile Christians need to become Jewish. And we need to make you proper Jews first, and then you can be proper Christians. And so Paul writes to them very carefully, very warmly, very lovingly. He can speak directly from his own experience. But he's obviously anxious. And in the letter he says that Timothy is anxious. And there's all sorts of stuff that is going on, which just shows that Paul is actually quite concerned. Paul's in jail, he can't do anything, so there's a little bit of to-ing and fro-ing. They send Epaphroditus to Paul and with a gift for him, but Epaphroditus gets poorly. In fact, he gets so poorly he nearly dies. And now Paul is worrying that they will worry when they have heard about it. He's worrying that they're worrying, and he sends Epaphroditus back so that worry is no longer there. But now he wants to send Timothy, who's also worried about them, to comfort them, and he hopes to do that really soon. And hold on, this is the Paul that says, do not be anxious. I don't know if you've clocked that. But Paul is not calling you to some sort of superhuman, got everything sorted Christianity. No, he's saying there are real things, and you will be anxious and you will worry. He's not saying don't be anxious ever. If you're ever anxious, you're not a Christian. He's saying when you're anxious, do something. He says he's not the finished article. He says, I've not obtained all of this. I've not already arrived at my goal. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is past, straining forward to what is ahead, I press on. That's Paul. Time means I'm going to skip a bit of Cranmer. We'll have some more Cranmer at the end, hopefully. I was going to listen to it again, but I think we'll have the words on the screen and that'll be good enough. So don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about anything. I mean, when we talked about those things that you're proud of, that you boast in at the beginning, quite often it's those things or the thought of losing some of those things that make you anxious. Big things and little things. Don't be anxious about anything. Did you notice that? It's nothing is excluded about anything. But in every situation, that means everything is included. Nothing is excluded. Everything is included. There is no get-out clause. But hold on, Paul, you're a nervous wreck. All this sending Timothy and Epaphroditus around. Yeah. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And that is exactly what Paul does in his letter. Did you notice it at the beginning? The bit that was read to us from chapter 1. I thank God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, that you may be able to discern what is the best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of the righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the praise and glory of God. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. It's exactly what Paul has done in his letter. It's the reason he's writing his letter, to do away with his anxiety, because he knows a solution. And this is what we need to learn from him. It's not about being perfect Christians. It's about knowing what to do as Christians when things aren't going the way we want them to. When Paul is anxious, he doesn't just stay there. Instead, he prays. He thanks God. Does it work? Of course it does. Yes, so much that he has so much peace that he's able to pass on peace to them. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's at the end of our reading as well. The God of peace will be with you. But there's more. Rejoice in the Lord. Over and over, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord, or rejoice, or be, rejoicing, be full of joy. Throughout, and actually halfway through his letter, he says, finally, and I'm looking at the time and thinking we're about halfway through, and I'm going to say, finally, rejoice in the Lord. At the beginning, I asked you what you were proud of. What do you rejoice in? What do you rely on? What is your confidence in? What do you spend your time doing? Does it actually reduce or heighten your anxiety? Let your gentleness be evident to all. Difficult translation. Forbearance, some have, patience, even tranquility, peace in the midst of suffering. Let your reasonableness. No, it's hard to translate and get this right. Let it be clear that you haven't lost it completely, because the Lord is near. Do you feel God near to you? Jesus said, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Will you draw near to Jesus? What's holding you back? Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Do you feel you're not good enough? Jesus said, this is the Mark bit, by the way, that the healthy don't need a doctor, only the sick. I didn't come for people who think they're okay, but for those who know they're not. Paul and Silas knew how to experience the nearness of God in that prison. They were sat there in the stocks with lacerated backs, and they prayed and sung hymns. I wonder what hymn they sang. Well, ticking away the moments that make up the dull. It's the wrong one. That was the song time. They sang this. Possibly something like this, but probably an earlier version of it. It was in chapter 2 of Philippians. Have this mind in you because you belong to the Messiah Jesus, who though in God's form did not regard equality with God as something he ought to exploit. Instead, he emptied himself and received the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of humans. And then having human appearance, he humbled himself and became obedient to death. Yes, even the death of the cross. And so, God has greatly exalted him, and to him in his favor has given the name which is over all names, that now, at the name of Jesus, every knee within heaven shall bow, on earth too, and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus, Messiah, is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I don't know if that's what they sung, but it was probably something like it.
Written.
Ah. That was bound to happen. Finally, brothers, this really is finally. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So go back to the list of things you're proud of, that you would boast in, and think about those. No. We used to have a sign on our TV, which had this verse on it, which told us all the programs we were not allowed to watch. You know, turn it off. No. Yeah, there's stuff you shouldn't watch. Might be different for some of you. Maybe you like good music, but maybe it's not the best for you. I don't know. You'll know. And God will help you work that out. But what's he been talking about? He's saying, rejoice in the Lord. What do you know that is more true, more noble, more right, more pure, more lovely, more admirable, more excellent, more praiseworthy than Jesus? Think on those things. Think on those things. And let's make Jesus the topic of our conversation. Yeah, it's great to be able to talk about other stuff. It's great to be able to make people feel welcome because we share interests with them. But the most important thing for us to keep sane is to be focused on Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say it, rejoice. Not convinced? Well, perhaps you need... And on Wednesday, the 19th, we begin a new series of Read, Mark, Learn. If you want to come and meet Jesus as he walks off the page of Mark's Gospel, do come along. 7:30, Wednesday the 19th. We're going to be doing that for 6 weeks. There are people in the room who found that, including me, a transforming experience. Far away across the field, the tolling of the iron bell calls the faithful to their knees to hear the softly spoken magic spell. Here's another magic spell from Thomas Cranmer, the man who was burnt alive for loving Jesus. O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed, give unto thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that both our hearts may be set to obey thy commandments, and also that by thee, we being defended from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.